Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
The last time there was an ALCS without the Astros in it was back in 2016. It was Cleveland against Toronto. It's been an incredible run, the 0-1. And this should end the run. And that'll do it. The Motown magic continues. The Tigers sweep the Astros 5-2, and they will move to the American League Division Series.
You heard it. The Astros dropped Game 1 and Game 2 in a best-of-three wild-card series. The Astros are headed home, which literally from Minute Maid Park is just a little bit of a truck ride, boys and girls. The Astros are done. Will not be in the ALCS for the first time in 8 years. You just heard it there. 2016 was the last time that the Astros weren't repping in the repping Houston in the ALCS. It was a painful way to go. Yesterday, Framber Valdez, who had been extremely hot at pitching really, really well, gives up three runs in the second inning, and the Astros don't have enough offensive firepower to get them back in the game. They scared them late in the ninth inning, but they couldn't get it done. And then today, the Astros get an absolute gem from Hunter Brown. Hunter Brown ended up going 5 2/3 innings, gave up two hits, one earned run, struck out nine. Unfortunately, one of those hits was Parker Meadows, the leadoff hitter for the Detroit Tigers, took him yard right down the line. One of those leaning to hope that thing stays fair, and it did. The Detroit Tigers took a 1-0 lead, and Hunter Brown handed it over to Brian Abreu, who went 1 1/3, scoreless baseball. And then comes the problem, boys and girls.
What we thought was supposed to be the strength, right, though.
Well, before I get to the problem, the Astros were able to, in the seventh inning, the Astros were able to put two on the board. They went up 2-1, but I think it's important to note that they had bases loaded, no outs, and a 2-1 lead. And Altuve at the plate. Altuve fouled out just behind first base, and then Kyle Tucker bounces into a double play. They get out of the inning only scoring two. They still got the lead 2-1. Going into the eighth inning, they turn this thing over to Ryan Pressly. Ryan Pressly gives up a couple of hits, and a wild pitch ties the ball game. He then walks one. I believe it's first and second. Josh Hader comes in the game, walks another runner, bases loaded. Josh Hader gives up a bases loaded base-clearing triple down the line to a pinch hitter. Detroit took the lead 5-2 and never looked back. I tell you, this was a disappointing game, and I'm seeing a lot – just a disappointing finish to the season.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn how successful the Astros had been over the last 7 years.
It felt like
this isn't a
sport.
Yes, it does, Bryce. This is not a spoiled Astros fan take. I mean, this was Detroit came in here as the hottest team in baseball. Understand that. They had a Cy Young probably winner on the bump yesterday. I understand that. But to really lose this the way that the Astros lost it is frustrating. It's disappointing. The one thing we said when the Astros signed Josh Hader was, what are teams going to do when games get into the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning and the Astros can roll out Brian Abreu, Ryan Pressly, and Josh Hader? Major League Baseball better look out. Well, guess what happened? 2-1 lead in the eighth. Ryan Pressly gives up the lead. Josh Hader allows the Detroit Tigers to blow this thing wide open. Who would have ever thunk that we'd be sitting here talking about the best bullpen, the best back end of a bullpen for sure, that we were talking about earlier in the season would be what ultimately ended up giving up the winner go home wild card game.
It was supposed to be, if not the strength of the team, certainly a strength of the team. That's the way it was discussed. That's the way it was built. And the fact of the matter is, for the entire year, that back end of the bullpen was a bit of a roller coaster. I'm not going to say it wasn't all bad, but it definitely wasn't all good or good enough for you to feel like, you know what? That is that shutout back end of the bullpen that we were talking about in the offseason or going into the season. It just never felt that way, never felt fully comfortable with it, especially with Ryan Pressly out there, right? Like that.
Yep.
I can remember in spring training there being like this awkward tension of, hey, how is Ryan Pressly going to handle being demoted in favor of Josh Hader? And I remember thinking, man, look, you watch Ryan Pressly pitch. Like, I understand that he's had some big moments for the Astros and has contributed in a big way to the Astros' run since he got here in 2018. But the fact is, his game was deteriorating a little bit, and that made sense to bring in Josh Hader. I just thought that now you've got two guys who are quality closer types that you can put at the back end of this
three
bullpen.
If you count Abreu, and then three
if you count Abreu, because there's even some question on, hey, maybe even Abreu might be just as good, if not better, than all of them. And then for it to not work out that way, and again, in spring training, this idea that, hey, this is going to be an issue. No, you should have 7, 8, 9 set up, and it should be the strength of your team, especially one that is as experienced and as accomplished as the one as the Astros are bringing forth, with Alex Bregman being on last year's contract and everything else that we know about the team. For it not to work out that way, for what was supposed to be at least a strength of the team to turn out to be a weakness in a gotta-have-it game, season on the line, never mind the fact, and I shouldn't say never mind the fact because this is significant, but today, one, you mentioned how things, you know, bases loaded, no outs, up 2-1 and not able to make anything happen. 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position, and 6 men left on base today, and a similar number yesterday. 2-for-7 with runners in scoring position, and 8 runners left on base. 8 men left on base. Like, you left the game out there. And then on top of it, today, when you were able to, it looked like you were going to be able to eke out a 2-1 win, is what it looked like. You couldn't even rely on what was supposed to be and what we were told was a strength of the team. $90-something million for Josh Hader, and this is what you get.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that one hit they got today was that Dubon single with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, that was it.
It was a bunt single.
And that was him pinched, and he had pinched. He didn't start the game, right?
No, he didn't start it.
He
came in for Hayward once they got that.
So your one hit with a runner in scoring position, and it was a beautiful bunt. Yeah, I know all of us here where we're sitting at marveled at it, but that's what you got.
Yeah, but look, I mean, if here's the thing with the Astros, and I've always said this: if we go down this way, then damn it, I'm just gonna have to live with it. They went down and they lost with ultimately Framber Valdez giving up three yesterday in the second inning, with Ryan Pressly and Josh Hader giving up four in the eighth today, and I think it's worth noting today: Jose Altuve 0-for, Kyle Tucker 0-for, Yordan Alvarez 0-for.
Can't like, live with it.
I mean, if Ryan Pressly and Hader, if they bite the bullet, and then your top three hitters, Altuve, Tucker, and Alvarez, are all 0-for, I mean, you're not going to win games.
Yeah.
You're not going to win playoff games. I don't give a damn who it's against. I tell you what else I'm seeing on some on social media is I'm having a hard time right now. I'm not ready to have this great appreciation for the Astros season. Like, I'm not ready to but this thing. Yeah, they lost. They got swept in the wild card against Detroit. And yeah, but man, boy, it's a miracle they were here anyway, man. It was such a great season. Like, we can do that down the road. I'm not ready to appreciate what the Astros did to get here. The ass was supposed to be here.
It's a loser ass mentality, man. I'm with you.
Well, so I'd already moved. I'd done that already. So maybe we're in different stages, because I did that going in. Once we got to the series, it was time to get to the series, because yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna be transparent about this. I buried the Astros. I didn't think that they would be here, so like it would just not be, to me, it would be dishonest of me to be like pounding the drum like, oh man, I can't believe it, when I can't believe that they made it to begin with, because I didn't think that they would. But once they got here, and then we dissect the series for what it was, specifically these two games for what it was, I would agree with what Tyler just said. That's kind of a loser mentality, because it was there to be had. I think you can accept both things can be true. You can accept the fact that, man, it is impressive that they got here. I don't know how they did it. They looked like they were dead in the water for a while. But once you get there, you got to show up, you know. And they did not do that. They didn't. They scored three runs in two games. And like you said, 0-for from your stars. You give up the goods from the back end of the bullpen that you paid all of this money to, or at the least have highly touted. Like, and then on a day when Hunter Brown gives you front of the line type of, front of the rotation type of stuff.
Right.
You got to have it, man. You absolutely got to have it. I was done with that congratulations Astros stuff at the end of the season.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, it's Wednesday, y'all. The Texans did. Let's move on to something that we got a 3-1 football team over here at NRG Stadium.
My blood boiling.
Football's here.
We do have a 3-1 football team.
We got
man.
A 3-1 football team over here in Houston, baby, and they ain't played their best ball yet. So we've got a monster game versus the Buffalo Bills this weekend, and this is a huge game in the NFL circles, not just because our Texans are involved. If the Texans want to take steps towards proving that they are who we thought they were, and we, as in everybody in the country, everybody in the NFL circle, talking about the Texans being a top three or four team in the AFC. I've seen Tom Brady have them in the top five teams in the NFL. I've seen a couple of other lists that teams still have the Texans, even though they've played subpar football for a month. They still have the Texans up there as one of the top teams in the NFL. They went to work today. It is Wednesday. Wednesday's a heavy work day. And here is the injury report. Did not practice. Derek Barnett with a shoulder. Joe Mixon with an ankle. Damian Pierce with a hamstring. And Laremy Tunsil with an ankle. Those are the did not practice guys. Anything jump off there for you, B. Scott?
Yeah, to me, that's obvious right there. We're talking, I mean, how long and how much time have we spent talking about this run game and it needing to get right? And the fact that you don't have your top two backs practicing on a Wednesday, and obviously that they've missed games already going into this, and they're not practicing today. Of course, Laremy Tunsil injured the ankle in the previous game against Jacksonville, had to come out for a little while. I know he came back, but I don't think that's something that we should sneeze at either. Like, I know we know Laremy Tunsil can be – you know, a little different with practice. You know, it kind of maybe doesn't love practice the same way
he loves
the game day sort of situation. Which, I mean, veteran, Pro Bowler, all of that, I understand that. But if he's really hurt, if that ankle is really bothering him and he can't go, I feel like the window that we got into what that looks like without him is I would say, worse than what I was anticipating, and I don't feel as great about it as I did. And obviously, if you're going to run the football, Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce, some combination of them, has to be healthy. It's not going to be the Cam Akers show. They're not going to be able to do it with the scheme that you described earlier in the 4 o'clock hour. Yeah. And they're not going to be able to do it if these two guys are not going to be available to them.
Well, they're not going to do it either if Laremy Tunsil's not out there
practicing. And that too.
Like, you don't just wake up and decide you're going to be physical, man. You got to practice. And Laramie's got this ankle issue, and it was a non-contact. I saw it when it happened in the game. It was interesting. But, you know, these guys not being able to practice doesn't help. Limited participation. This is where it gets a little bit more positive for the Texans. Tank Dell, limited participation with the chest. We heard from D'Amico Ryans earlier, and he mentioned Tank Dell being back. Talked about him like he's back full go, and they're excited to have him back. Jake Hansen with a back. Jerry Hughes with a hip. Juice Scruggs with a hip. And Jimmy Ward with a groin. They were both limited. But, again, Tank Dell and Jimmy Ward were both spoken about by the head coach, as in good to have these guys back. So even though they're listed as limited participation, Skeezy, it seems like they're going to be full go.
I hinted at this earlier, but I want to say it very clearly. Tank Dell out there, I think even though he has not had the start of the season that people necessarily want to see from him, just the threat of him out there to me is significantly different from the alternatives. The John Metchies, or if Robert Woods is playing that role, whatever the case, Xavier Hutchinson, Steven Sims, you absolutely need Tank Dell to be out there on the field.
All right, real quick, with the Bills, did not participate. Maybe keep an eye on Deion Dawkins, their tackle, one of their offensive linemen, obviously. A safety, Taylor Rapp, a concussion, and wide receiver Khalil Shakir with an ankle. So those are three guys. I'm not real sure who Austin Johnson is. I don't know if he's a contributor on the defensive line or not, but those three guys I mentioned are definitely guys with the Bills that we need to keep an eye on, because that will be – we already know Von Miller is out, but if they lose any more, it could be a problem for the Bills. All right, coming up next, we've talked about the All-22 film multiple times. When it drops, right, there's things that we're going to see on there. I watched the All-22 – And there's a couple of things that I want to circle back to where I think this team can get better overnight. I want to do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
The Big Orange Wagon, getting you ready for postseason baseball here in H-Town.
The Astros are not playing for a postseason berth or to get to a certain point in October. No, they are playing for straight-up banners.
New episodes every week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Red 60. That's my audible voice.
Red's a hot
number. 60's the protection I need, and I'm hand signaling the route to B. Scott out here out wide as my wide receiver. We're fixing to we're gonna call a quick audible here. I'm going to get into that All-22 reaction. I got two ways that the Texans can get better. It doesn't matter who practices. It doesn't matter who's healthy. Two ways they can get better. It's blatantly obvious immediately in the All-22 film. I'll do that next.
This will give them more time to listen. So somebody, Texans, we in the building right now. This will give them an extra segment to sit down somewhere and listen to that last segment when Clint gives it to you.
Yeah, we got to update the folks on the big noise in the NFL yesterday, which was Davante Adams officially requesting a trade from the Las Vegas Raiders, and Antonio Pierce, the head coach, along with the owner and the general manager, They are not backing down from it. They basically said business, you know, business is business, and we'll make business decisions, and have made it clear that he can pursue a trade, and people are more than welcome to contact us. Well, apparently there's three or four teams that have contacted the Las Vegas Raiders. I think the obvious two are where his former quarterbacks play, his college quarterback and the quarterback that was with him with the Raiders for a short stint. What was that, a year? And
yeah,
were they together a year? And
a year.
A year.
And part of the reason why he wanted to go there. Yep.
Yeah, but he left. But Carr actually didn't finish the season, correct?
Well, they
Carr left the team early that year.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah,
basically.
So that year, and then, but anyway, Carr is in New Orleans. New Orleans is one of the teams that is reportedly interested. The Jets, where Aaron Rodgers is one of the teams that's reportedly interested.
It's that simple.
Yeah. And the Cowboys. The Cowboys are one of the teams that are interested in, have called and are quote-unquote monitoring the situation with Devontae Adams. What do you think about that if the Cowboys went and got Devontae Adams?
Yeah, look, I think any team that has Devontae Adams is a completely different – adds a completely different dynamic and has to be looked at, which is why it's disappointing for the Raiders, because, hey, you got Devontae Adams. You should at least have some type of redeeming quality about your offense if it's nothing other than – get the ball to this guy. But obviously the Cowboys have a multitude of weapons. I'm just interested in how that would work out with CeeDee Lamb. You know, like they got CeeDee Lamb, just paid CeeDee Lamb to bring in Devontae Adams. To me, like I understand that Devontae's a little bit older now, but he's still of that caliber to where now you've got, you know, double alpha. I don't know if they'd have a similar situation of, like, is it enough balls to go around between CeeDee Lamb and Devontae Adams, but I think it would definitely make them a very much better football team.
It is interesting because while I think Jerry is all about just staying on the top of that ticker at ESPN more than anything, it makes sense because I do think Jerry ultimately wants to win. He made the all in comment and then went and got Zeke Elliott to be his running back. I mean, and
almost nothing else.
And he's still catching hell. He's still catching hell about. What's my man at number two in Cleveland?
Oh, Amari Cooper.
Not keeping Amari Cooper, right? And so there's just only – I say this every year. Like, you can't pass up for sure for some more. Like, for them to sit around and hope that somebody else at a different position comes available and gives them an opportunity to be a contender would be crazy. Right now, look, you're a pass-happy football team anyway. You're going to be aggressive and throw the football down the field anyway. Devontae Adams opposite CeeDee Lamb would be a problem for contending teams, and your quarterback is as aggressive in stretching the field, trying to stretch the field, as anybody out there. It's who you are offensively. And I'll say this: I think in a weird way, they complement each other. Like CeeDee Lamb is now, he's more of the receiver kind, but he's more of a guy almost. And this is going to sound weird at first, but bear with me. He's more of a weapon.
Yeah,
I was going to say Debo Samuel, but he's more of like he. To me, I view him as I create offense around him as more of a weapon. The dude can do all kind of crazy stuff,
or like an elite gadget, not a gadget guy who's just a gadget guy.
Yes,
but like gadget guy who's better than any other gadget.
Yeah, which is that's the polar opposite of Devontae Adams.
Right.
I mean, he's a stationary guy, true wide receiver. Now you can move him a little bit. He's a veteran. You do whatever the hell you want to him. Throws, catches the back shoulder all the time. Yep. Great route runner.
Have a weakness in his game.
So I do think that they would complement. At first glance, you think, no, they got CeeDee Lamb. But I do think that would be a really good fit, and I think they would complement each other really, really well. And I think you would quiet all the noise around your organization of not making win-now, all-in moves, which you claim to do, but then you don't do.
Yep.
So I do think that would be – that's an interesting bunch to keep an eye on.
And I think they should do it. I think, like, just to get straight to it, I think they should absolutely be interested. Like, if they are interested, rightfully so, because that makes them a significantly better football team. And to me, it furthers the investment in Dak and CD. Like, you just paid those guys. Let's help make those guys even better.
Well, I don't subscribe, you know, as I think everybody knows. I don't look at Devontae Adams and, like, I don't need to sit here and go, boy, he's 31. Like, I watch Devontae Adams play, and I'm like, hey, man, you can worry about his age if you want to. If he's on my squad, he's making a difference if he's on the field. I mean, in fact, there's been times when I've watched the Raiders over the last year and a half where you're like, hell, he looks like the only dude that can go out there half the damn time. So it's I'm not worried about that. Draft compensation. Like I think some of the reports out there, the asking price is a second-round pick. And obviously, look, Devontae's got 2 years left on his contract. It's a big number, but I don't think they're guaranteed. We might look into that. I don't think the money's guaranteed.
No, so this year's his last year guaranteed money.
Right. Okay, so that makes sense then. But I think it would be something that if Devontae Adams could somewhat direct where the hell he went, he would probably be willing to make it all make sense and make it work. But I say all that to say, just in general, that doesn't seem like. I know a lot of draft guys and former general managers are talking about how that nobody wants to give that up. That's not a lot of draft capital for a guy like Devontae Adams.
Are you kidding me? It's a steal. I'd be rushing to give it up.
Yeah.
Like I'd be fumbling through my pockets to get where can I find this second round pick to give?
Yeah.
Not just any old team, not a team that's not close or who is not realistic for,
yeah.
But for these suitors that we were just talking about. I think New Orleans is in a different space just based off of how they're playing this year. I know that is specific to the Derek Carr situation, but they're playing well enough to be a suitor, okay? Obviously the Jets and then the Cowboys. Like, there are certain teams. I know yesterday you and Sean Bajani were kind of going down the list of teams that are on the Texans schedule, and you got to the Chiefs and you got to the Bills and different teams like that. Bruh, that is – you put Devontae Adams on any of those teams that are already pretty damn good,
yeah.
And you're talking about a scary, scary proposition. I would include even the Cowboys for all of the complaints about their offseason, and I think they're just a playoff team in the NFC right now. I think you – a borderline even playoff team in the NFC right now. You had Devontae Adams, and I'm having a different conversation about the Cowboys, even though they need to fix things on defense as well. So, to me – he just changes the dynamic of an already serious football team. If you're unserious the way the Raiders are right now, then it doesn't matter. But he's obviously going to go to a place where he can win.
Yeah.
Changes the dynamic.
Completely. Yeah, absolutely. I think Buffalo's going to be in that conversation. I wouldn't be shocked if Kansas City wasn't at least looking. I don't know if they can – I don't know how they make all that work, but – my partner Ron Ugly, he doesn't believe in salary caps. You can damn near make anything work if you're trying to win Super Bowls.
Keep that can down the road.
Look, Baltimore is a team. Again, I'm not up on their salary cap, how much available cap they've got, cap space they have. But at the end of the day, Devontae Adams is the kind of guy that boy, you'd risk putting yourself in a bad spot the next 3 years to get him if it means putting you over the. Over the hump. So the Bills, the Baltimore Ravens, the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, I think the there's several teams on the Texans roster, and it could change the Texans schedule. It could change the dynamic of that schedule if he does make that move. We'll keep you posted on where Devontae Adams ends up. It looks like him and the Raiders are both willing to play, interested to play, motivated to move him as soon as possible. The player is. The Raiders said that they're not in no hurry to make it happen. So we shall see. All right, let's get to these two things, man. There's two things the Texans can do this week to put a better product on the field, and there ain't no doubt about it. It's a 100% fact, Jack, at least based on my film study it is. I'll tell you what those two things are. We'll cuss and discuss next. Hey, also, tell y'all where we're going to be tomorrow so y'all can come hang out with us, man. Thirsty Thursday, baby. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Clint Sterner is joined today. That'd be me. Is joined today by Brandon K. Scott. B. Scott, I call him Skeezy. Y'all know exactly who. Don't know what you call him, but you know exactly who the hell he is. Real quick, we will be in New Caney tomorrow, live broadcast, 2 to 6 p.m., the Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney. Come through if you're up on that side of town. Come through, hang out with us, have a couple of drinks. It's always a good time at Buffalo Wild Wings. Bud Light will be giving away several things. I don't have the list of what they are. The things in the past, I can tell you that, have been tickets along with – two tickets along with – I've heard they're really good tickets, by the way – along with – tailgate wristbands to get into the Bud Light tailgate, which I can only imagine is a tremendous tailgate. Also, they've given away coolers, like really nice coolers. They've given away lawn chairs, like the old weed style lawn chairs with coolers actually attached and built into the bottom of them. We've got gift cards that we'll give away as well. So come on through. Again, Buffalo Wild Wings in New Caney tomorrow. If you can't make it to New Caney tomorrow, our Football Friday live broadcast this week is at East River 9, which obviously is on the east side. My east siders out there, y'all are always on me about how come y'all don't come over here? How come y'all don't come to the east side? Let us know when you're going to be over here. I'm letting you know. Friday, East River 9. If you hadn't been there, cool spot, good food, great drinks. You can swing the club around a little bit if you want to. You can play pickleball if you want to. You can just hang. They got great hanging out areas, a couple of different bar areas. So Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings, New Caney, Football Friday, East River 9 over here on the east side. So come on through and hang.
And the key phrase on those giveaways that you were talking about, Clint, is giveaway.
Yeah.
Give away.
All you got to do is put your name on the card.
Free. Whatever it is that we got waiting. And we never disappoint anyway. Like, we don't just give you nothing, no throwaway stuff. We never disappoint. But whatever it is, we giving it away. So keep that in mind.
That's it. All right, let's get to this real quick, B. Scott. There's we've heard from definitely Bobby Slowick. I can't remember if we've heard this from D'Amico Ryans or not, but teams in the NFL, they really don't settle into their identity, and I'm paraphrasing, but ultimately this is the statement, the communication is, we really don't know who we are, and teams don't know who they are, and units don't know who they are until, 6 or 8 weeks into the season. I think I've heard them consistently use that 8 week.
It's CJ. I don't know about D'Amico, but it's Slowick and CJ for sure.
Okay.
Those are the two that I can give you for sure, and even being there listening to them.
Okay. And look, I think last year, I think that made a lot of sense because Bobby Slowick had never called plays before. C.J. Stroud had never played in the NFL before. Tank Dell had never played in the NFL before. Nico Collins hadn't pissed a drop in the NFL before. So there were reasons why you need to learn each other. I've always thought that comment was interesting in year two because you like to just grow, pick up where you left off and grow. So you should have some level of an identity of who you are and what you are offensively. But it's clear the Texans, again, this year are reaching for and building towards an identity. And I'm going to tell you one thing on the offense and one thing on the defense where this – Bobby Slowick has invited defenders, and I'm going to say this as easily as I can to digest on the radio.
Yep.
He by the personnel, meaning using fullbacks and extra tight ends, He invites more big defenders into the game and into the box around the line of scrimmage and closer to the football. By formation, that's personnel. By formation, it don't matter what your personnel is, lining your receivers up real tight to the tackles. You're inviting more bodies into the around the line of scrimmage and closer to the football. And that muddies the water for guys in pass protection to decide who they're going to block. It's not as clear a picture. In the run game, it invites more bodies in there that are closer to the ball for your offensive line to have to move in the run game. And it's got to stop. We're talking about the extra tight ends and extra fullbacks. We're talking about condensing the formation. I think it was at least four of the first five runs last week were condensed formation, heavy personnel between the 20 type runs. And you're asking guys that aren't great run blockers anyway to move more mass.
Yeah.
You're asking guys that their forte is to pass protect to now decipher and figure out what five of these seven or eight defenders am I going to block because they're all right here in my face. Like, offensively, this is not a football team that is going to line up with extra tight ends and a fullback in the game, invite all the defenders into the football, and then move mass and run the football well. It's not who you are. It's not who you were last year. You tried it last year. It's not who you were all year last year, and it's not who you are now. Right? And I'm not saying – I've said this from jump. The run-pass ratio, B. Scott, I don't care where that's at. Like I don't care where you're at. It's a method to the madness. Like, it's blatantly obvious you are wasting downs doing that.
So I would just wonder, though, how do you, as an offense, if the way that you're going to run the ball is to be to spread everybody out and to maybe use your offensive linemen's athleticism more so than their brute force, how do you, as an offense, at any point, forget for a second just running the ball effectively, but when you talk about imposing a certain level of physicality that I think is necessary, and I obviously not play the game as you did, but you correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, I think the further along you get into the season, the more serious your season gets, especially if you talk about playoff football and they got Super Bowl aspirations and all of that, weather gets cold and all of that type of stuff. How do you impose a certain level of physicality if that's a thing that you can't do, if that's just flat out not a part of your identity? I'm not disputing what you're saying. I'm just saying it doesn't make me feel good, Clint. It makes me when I hear it, and then even when I watch it, I'm like, hey, man, if the best way to run the football right now is, you know, gap schemes or spread formations or whatever the case may be, fine. But at some point, as we like to say, when the rubber meets the road, I do need to have somebody that's going to be willing to hit the next man in the mouth. It just, yeah. To me, at some point, that's going to have to happen.
Yeah, no, no.
Now, at some point.
Look, I agree that if you're not willing to be physical enough, it's going to end up biting you in the tail. I'll argue that the Kansas City Chiefs are more of a spread football team. I'll argue that the Kansas City Chiefs, now they do have a couple of guys up front that absolutely love hitting you in the mouth, but I will argue that the Kansas City Chiefs' approach is somewhat similar to what the Texans need to do. Look, here's the deal, there's two answers to your question, right? It's just as easy to be physical and punch a guy in the mouth if I look up and the defense is spread out all over the defense and I know this guy right here is who I've got, right, and I'm going to punch him in the mouth, right? It's a lot easier to identify that guy and go get him confidently when there's not seven other bodies like within a yard of him trying to confuse me, right? And so you got to start somewhere. And I think giving guys a clear picture, creating wider lanes for your running back is the way to go specifically about the run game. And now you hit a couple of things. I don't even know if you did it on purpose, but you spreading a defense out is what teams with super explosive wide receivers do, right? Spreading a team out to run the football is what really good football teams do that have explosive wide receivers and tackles that like to pass block. And, you know, you're by formation creating space. Like, teams that do more with less, like a lot of teams that play uphill, they don't have the same caliber dudes. They immediately spread you out sideline to sideline because it creates opportunity by scheme and by design, yeah, right? And so the Texans just have to do that. They can still be, I'll punch you in the mouth. We'll find out, you know, if you want to punch somebody in the mouth.
Yeah.
But let's let's create an identity that in my opinion is exactly who our personnel are. Well, like there's no reason for John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson to be catching screens on his team.
Yeah.
There's not. There's no reason for a personnel grouping, four of the five guys to be Dalton Schultz, British Brooks, Taylor, and a backup tackle that you put in as a tight end. There's no reason.
Yeah. It feels like sometimes they're getting a little too cute for their own good.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand why that is, especially when you've established yourself. Now, this should be about winning football games and the next, you know, taking the next step. You've already arrived.
Yeah.
We don't have to be. I don't get why we got to be the smartest in the room or to. I don't know if that's what it is, but like, we don't have to be too cute with it. Let's just go and. And strategize according to our personnel.
Well, B. Scott, it's a normal, natural, attempt. Like the way you go from who you were last year to a true Super Bowl contender is you run the football. So they put a lot of emphasis on running the football. Joe Mixon, obviously, right? I mean, they put some emphasis on that, and now you've given it an honest answer. I'm not mad at you for doing it.
Yeah.
I just need it to change.
Yeah.
Because clearly that's not who you are, and not how you're going to win football games,
and especially not with Joe Mixon out there.
Yeah. Well.
Not practice today, by the way.
With no Joe Mixon, it's even more so. So I just think the condensing formations, the heavy personnel, the throwing screens to Metchie and Hutch, I mean, you're just not that. Your identity is spread them out where CJ's most comfortable, spread them out where you've got all your weapons on the field, your explosive weapons on the field, and you can threaten a defense every damn snap. Spread them out where your tackles can do what they do best, what you paid them to do, which is pass protect. And then, in doing so, you're spreading out, you're clearing up the picture for the offensive line. When you do run the football, you're creating wider lanes for your running back and your ball carriers when you do run the football. That's it. That's the gist of this thing that I think that the direction that this offense has to move in. It's a lot more easier. It's easier said than done. I will acknowledge that. And I just think that's got to be Bobby's approach moving forward. Defensively, real quick, they're showing the blitz way too early. You don't have your cover defenders. We talked about that. They may have a problem at the cover defender. Eric Murray, Kamari Lassiter, Jalen Petrie. You're not good enough in the cover defender position to just show the blitz and with no help and hope that the rush gets there.
Yeah.
You're just not able to do that, man. You got to disguise better, and Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter got to get home more often. That's what's got to happen on the defensive side of the football for this to happen.
I do wonder if maybe it's because they didn't blitz enough or didn't blitz as much before. Maybe they're blitzing more, and so they're just a matter of repetition. They're not quite as good at it, but we'll see, man.
We'll see. All right. Big day on the drive. We'll be back tomorrow. Buffalo Wild Wings, New Caney, Texans All Access is next, 6 to 8. Nick Caserio, general manager, Texans general manager, joins right at the start. So you want to stay plugged in right here. That's B. Scott, Tyler Milner back in the studio. I'm Clint Sterner. Houston, we love you, baby.
The last time there was an ALCS without the Astros in it was back in 2016. It was Cleveland against Toronto. It's been an incredible run.
Can we just let the bumper music play? I mean,
yeah, let's take it. Turn that up, man. You ain't lying.
See, breezy.
Come on, man. Let's get that, dog.
Yeah, there we go. These Astros ain't loyal.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.